Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Psalm 115, and I read verse 1 as text verse for the sermon. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read, from Lord's Day 52, question and answer 128. And the theme for the sermon is glory unto God and not unto man. Glory unto God and not unto man. Congregation, there was a missionary and he was really in need of money for his work. He didn't have the means to continue the task he was called to do, he felt called to do. So he prayed about it. But also what he did is he knocked at the door of a businessman for help. He explained his need and he humbly asked for support and help for this work in the kingdom of God. And then this businessman asked him, well, tell me, why did you come to me for help? And this missionary said, well, I know you. I know that you have a business and that you can afford to help me. You have the means to help me. And I also know that you have a heart for the things of the Lord, compassion with people that would be lost if they do not hear the gospel. I know you. You are a generous person in the things of the kingdom of God. That's why I knocked at your door. That's why I'm here to ask you. Well, we understand that, isn't it? I mean, it makes sense that you would go to such a person that gives confidence in your heart. I need help, but I know who this person is. So I go for help to him. And I bring my need before this person. Of course. We understand that expectation in the heart of this missionary. The hope he had that he would receive help. Well, isn't that what we see at the closure of the Lord's Prayer? There we receive an insight, you could say, in the reason why we pray to God. Why we bring all those petitions before the Lord. In the closure of the prayer, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's why we pray. That's why we pray to the living God. We know Him. Do we? Do you know God? I mean, know Him not only with your mind, but know Him in a way that Scripture is using the word to know. And that's a matter not only a theoretical knowledge in your mind. That word knowledge in Scripture is a word that's, for example, used for spouses in marriage. They know each other, not in theory, but in practice of every day. And so the question is, do you know God by experience? Do you know for your own heart who God is? Think about that and answer that question for yourself. And you say, how can I know God? Are you struggling with that? How can I know Him in this way that I can say with confidence, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory? It's like the foundation for prayer. Lord, here we stand, here we kneel before Thee, because we have this firm foundation that Thou are able and willing to help us. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and that will never change. Forever. How can you know God this way? Someone was asking that question. Are you struggling with that? Because God is invisible. Do you find that difficult, children, to trust a God whom you cannot see? You know, to trust your mother, your father, your friend, who you see, who you can talk to and listen to and see what he or she is doing. That's different, isn't it? But to trust the invisible God? I've talked to people who would say, well, that's so hard. I cannot do that. How can I believe in things I cannot see? Is that your struggle? To know God? To know him by experience? To trust God? What do you mean? How can I know God? How can I know him by experience? And in that way, have that firm foundation for prayer and trust him? It's a good question. Let's think about it. Yes, you're right. God is invisible. You cannot see him. But at the same time, God has made himself known. He has given us like a very clear letter written by himself to explain who he is, to make it very clear. This whole book, the Bible, is like a letter from heaven, and God has given it to reveal who he is. Look, this is how I am. What do you mean? There are a lot of histories in Scripture. Yes, but in those histories, we see how God is dealing with man, with fallen man, with sinful man. This is how God is. You remember all the examples of David who fell in sin, and how God came by his servant the prophet and spoke to David, and David broke. His heart was broken. And then the prophet says, and God has taken your sin away. That's how God is. It's like a powerful, a clear, a wonderful picture and painting of who God is. And so the whole scripture, in so many ways, is showing who God is. That's one. That's very important. And there's even more. And maybe someone says, but Pastor, when I read scripture, I am afraid. I am not sure if I dare to come near to God, if I dare to live close to God, because God is holy. Does scripture not say that he is a consuming fire? You're right. That's true. That's what scripture says. And God is holy. We should not forget it. Sometimes it feels like people forget it, that God is a holy God. But why do you say that you are afraid? Did you not read more in Scripture? And is it not true that God has made himself known in the most powerful way in his Son? In the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man. And so to know God is to know him, you could say, in the face of Christ, the Son of God. And you know, if you know God in that way, in seeing that he sent his Son in this world, and seeing what his Son has done in this world, then the fear will leave your heart. If your heart will surrender to God in Christ, then that fear that you experienced will be taken away. How does it happen? Well, John says in his letters that it's by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Yes, I tremble When I see who I am before a holy God, I hope you know that. I hope you have experienced that too. That you have seen yourself as a poor and a poor sinner who is worthy to be punished by God. Because I've broken His law and transgressed His will. But that you also saw that God has given His Son, the Lord Jesus, and that He took sin upon Himself, that He was made sin to take the punishment away. You see Him? Do you see Him? Like He is painted in Scripture, hanging on the cross, crown of thorns and blood covering His face, His hands and feet nailed to the wood, dying, shedding His blood. And there He takes the punishment. And that is so amazing. That is such a deep love for enemies. And that love, when I see that, when I receive it, when it is shed abroad in my heart, and then fear will go away. Oh God, what a miracle. And Thou art my God. That becomes a confession of your heart. Isn't it? You understand that? Something of that? So there you get to know God. And especially there where you see Christ dying on the cross, it's like God is opening His heart. You look straight into the heart of the Father who gave His Son. It's not only the Son who is showing this overwhelming love in giving Himself as a sacrifice, it's also the Father sending His Son in the world. Only begotten Son. And then, yes, when I look to myself, I tremble. I have to acknowledge, Lord, I've sinned against Thee, a holy God, my Creator. I deserve condemnation and eternal punishment. But oh, then I lift up my eyes and I see what He has revealed. And I see Christ crucified, and fear is leaving my heart. And I embrace by faith this Savior. And now you know Him, don't you? You know Him by experience. This is how God is. He has saved my soul from the fear of death and hell. By this great gift of His Son to be a sacrifice for sinners. Did it answer your question? Who asked the question? How can I know God? Did it answer your question? He has given His Word, He has given His Son, and in what Christ has done, you look into the heart of God. You get to know Him in such an intimate way that there is the surrender of trust in your heart. How could I doubt the love of God when I see this? Do you know God? Let me ask the question again. Do you know God? Can you say this, what the Heidelberg Catechism says? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So thine is the kingdom. What does it mean? What do we mean when we say that the kingdom belongs to God? You could say God has dominion. Or you could say, simply say, God is king. Could you say that? Did you see that? But do you also acknowledge that in your own life? God, Lord God, thou art King. Not only that we believe that he is ruling this world like he does. What do we mean, God ruling this world? People in the world might say, well, I cannot see that. I mean, is there a God of love ruling this world? Why are people suffering? Why is there so much war? Why do children die from famines in this world? And so many. I cannot believe that there's a God who's ruling in control in this world. Yeah, if you don't believe that we, by our sin, brought all this sorrow and suffering in the world, then you cannot solve these questions. So you have to submit to the word of God. Otherwise you will end up confused, you will get stuck, you will be confused about these questions. But simply listen to the revelation of the word and submit to it, believe the truth of it. So God is ruling this world, he's King. Everything is under his control. But that does not mean that we could blame him for the suffering in this world. But if he could stop it, then all those questions. Well, at the same time, when we listen to Scripture and understand that we, by sin, have brought suffering in this world, we also have to be aware that we are very, very small human beings. It's such a little mind. And God is the all-knowing and wise and righteous and good God. So here we need trust. We need trust to find our way in life, that we believe that this is true. Although I cannot really see it in what happens in this world, or understand it with my mind, that I do believe it. Thine is the kingdom. God is ruling this world. And the power, he has all the power. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing that he could not do. This is something. Yeah. Sometimes you hear children boasting about their fathers. You know what my father can do? And then they tell real miracles of the wisdom or the power of their fathers or how skilled they are. Well, that's what God's children do. And you know, we know children on earth, they exaggerate. They make it bigger than it really is. But we can never exaggerate about the power of God. There's nothing impossible for him. There's nothing that he couldn't do. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory, and that forever. That will never change. What a wonderful foundation for prayer. If you really see this, if you really believe this, then there will be a freedom to pray, a boldness in prayer, isn't it? To go to the throne of grace with all our needs. But let's think for a while about these last words and the glory. For thine is the glory. That's also what Psalm 115 is speaking about. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Thine is the glory. So what does the word glory mean? If you look in Hebrew, in the original language, then the word used for glory has the meaning of weight, you could say, or honor, esteem, or abundance, majesty. So think about that word wait. We might use it in the Netherlands, I'm not sure in English, but a weighty person in the meaning of a person that is in a position of honor. That's what we might say in the Netherlands. Thine is the glory. Thou art so... There is such a majesty in thee. There is such a weight in thee. Thou art so important. Thou hast such a glory. Thine is the glory. Yeah. So we probably have said that many times. And to pray this, that means we acknowledge it. Lord, glory belongs to thee. The weight of glory belongs to God. But think about your life. And think about how people are in this world, how we live. Is it really something we pray with our whole heart? What I mean to say is, we are so concerned about our own glory. That is so important for us. We really are hungry and thirsty for glory for ourselves. We have such a desire to gain glory in this world. So how can you honestly pray this? That's such a hindrance for this prayer, this Lord's Prayer. That sinful, proud nature that we have. It's in between. To pray this prayer in a sincere way. Yeah. We need a change of heart. We need to die. We need to lose our life. That old sinful attitude and way of life, we need to lose it. To pray in the way the Lord Jesus has been teaching in His Word. Thine is the glory. And so we read this in Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Why? Well, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Lord, because I see Thy mercy. I know Thy mercy. And I know Thy truth. That's why I have a desire that God will receive the glory. Yeah. Is that true in your life? And that's such a change of life. That's a real change of heart. But it's sweet. It's blessed. It's a most joyful situation. It is a situation of freedom. That's how God is setting sinners free, changing their hearts so that they can pray this sincerely. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. We have such a fear, isn't it, to be rejected in this life, to be neglected by men. I'm not saying that that is easy. I'm not saying that it is good if people do it to us. It hurts us so deeply. It is so painful. They just neglect me. They reject me. They hurt me. You probably all recognize it. And I understand it. But you know what helps us a lot is when we live by faith. When we live by a true faith. When we live in the knowledge of the true God. That makes all the difference. Also concerning those experiences that we can have in this life. That we are rejected, neglected, and hurt by people. It makes such a difference if we really have the focus on the glory of God. If that is important to us. And not our own glory. If you are really humbly by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, if you are really humble and close to the ground, you could say, then if people hit you, you cannot fall so deeply. If you lay on the ground, they cannot make you fall. You understand what I mean? If you have a high esteem of God, that makes a difference. Instead of having a high esteem of yourself. If you have such a high esteem of yourself, then you're easily hurt, isn't it? But if you have a real desire in your heart that God will receive the glory, then you will be hurt when people neglect God and reject Him. And also, if we have those feelings, if we have that pain in our hearts, that people hurt us, there is healing in faith. People seem not to acknowledge who you are. That's painful, isn't it? People seem not to acknowledge your identity. But if you know by faith that your identity is in Christ, if you know by faith that God has accepted you, that God has embraced you for Christ's sake in His eternal love, and if you know by faith that you can never lose that makes all the difference, isn't it? Then you can have peace in situations that people humiliate you, neglect you, try to hurt you, because then you flee to the Lord and you think about how deep Christ has humbled Himself to suffer, to set you free. And then you can still have, and you will still have joy in your heart for Christ's sake. And it might be that they neglect you because you are a Christian. And you will experience that. All that live a godly life in this world, they will be oppressed and persecuted. But then at that time you feel so near to the Lord. You feel like sharing in His suffering to a certain extent. And then you will rejoice in it like the apostles did. So you understand that it makes all the difference if you know God and can sincerely pray this prayer. It's an ongoing struggle, I understand that. We will continue to have that fight against our old nature. But if this is really true, that we acknowledge thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, if everything in this life is about that makes it totally different to live this life on earth. So, let's search our hearts, let's examine ourselves. And I am sure, in the light of the closure of this prayer, we have every reason to feel ashamed about who we are before God. That we still do seek so much our own glory, and that it's such a hindrance to bring the glory to God. Psalm 115 is teaching us the lesson. This psalm writer has learned the lesson. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. So I said there's freedom in it. There's really freedom in it if you don't have to fight for your own glory. Why would you fight for the glory of God? This life is short. It is not so important how much attention people pay to what you do or are or perform. It's so important that they pay attention to who God is. And you know, to walk in the fear of the Lord means that you will focus on that. And there's freedom in it. Then I don't have to worry about my position, my honor, my glory, my name, my power. No, that's so unimportant. And don't forget that people can give you a lot of honor and glory, and the next day you lose it all. It's something that you really should not seek so much. But the glory of God is eternal. And when you live by faith in Christ, when you know that He has saved you by His precious blood, you will share in His glory. And that will be full and perfect in eternity, and you can never lose it. You feel the freedom in a life with the Lord, isn't it? You feel the liberty in such a spirit-filled life. Pastor, these things are too high. Do you really walk and live that way? Oh, I have a desire that it would be that way in my life, like it should. But I have to confess that I fail so much. But that doesn't mean that we do not receive this teaching and instruction, and that we do not see the power of this word and how important it is. And so I preach you tonight, seek it. Seek a life where God is your king, and where it is about His power. But Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am mighty. So, why would you want to be powerful in yourself? It's even a hindrance for the life of faith. Why would you seek glory for yourself? It's a hindrance for life to the glory of God. Why would you see to be in control of all things? It's a hindrance to trust the Lord. So in this psalm we read that there's a real concern in the heart of God's child about the glory of God. If you read verse 2, it says, "Wherefore should a heathen say, where is now their God?" What does it mean? Well, this psalm is concerned about that people would say, well, you cannot see the work of God. Where is now their God? And so this psalm is praying about it, that God's work will be seen. And do you understand something of this concern when you think about the church? When you think about your family, when you think about your personal life, Lord, help me to walk in Thy ways. Why? That I will feel good about myself? Lord, it's about Thy name. Why would people say, where is now their God? Oh, that's a deep motivation for prayer. When we see that it is all about the glory of God, that it is about His name, that would hurt me. When people would say, well, yeah, that man, he's going to church. He's even a pastor. But I don't see any difference with the world. Where is now his God? Then God would be dishonored for my name's sake. That should hurt us. And God is rejected because of that. Oh, it's such a joyful thing to live by faith. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's free. He's ruling this world. And I'm like a little child. I don't know many things He does. But I'm kept by His hand. And He is leading me. And He does what pleases Him. And I believe that it is wise and good. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 309, stanza 1 through 4. 309, stanza 1. The Lord who has remembered us, his blessing will bestow. 309, all stanzas. The closure of this prayer of the Lord is, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And the Catechism says, "That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King," so that's personal, but not only mine, also the King of others. And what does it mean to say our King? Well, that's the language of faith. That's a testimony of faith. Thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. All good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. Our King and Almighty, thou art willing and able. Thou art willing and able. Sometimes a child is coming to his father and says, "Father, please, could I have this?" And the father would say, "I would like to give it to you, my son, but I cannot afford it. I'm not able to give it to you. We simply cannot pay for it. It's impossible for us." Or sometimes there might be a father, and that's terrible to think about, who is able to give something good to his child, but just not willing, not interested. just concerned about his own life, his own pleasure, his own things. And that's not the case with God. There will never be anything that God would not be able to provide any good. And it will never be that he is not willing to provide for those that trust in him what is good. Well, now you might have questions about those few words, to give us all good. I cannot see that, because I receive things in my life, although I really sincerely trust in the Lord, and I have confessed my sins, and I depend on the work of Christ, but there are so many things in my life that happen that are evil, and I've prayed about it, and I do not see changing everything. There are some things that the Lord has changed, and some things he has given, I'm thankful for, but there's still things in my life that are so hard, so difficult, so painful. So how can we say that thou art our King and Almighty and willing and able to give us all good? Because that good that I prayed for, I do not receive. Are you struggling with that question? Then it's important to think about other instruction in Scripture. You have a whole Bible. And there's a lot of instruction and guidance in the Word of God. And also, if you think about examples. So let's take the example of Paul. And Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. I don't know if you have a work in your garden, and when you have a thorn in your hand, and then you continue to work, every time you do something, it hurts. It's going deeper into your flesh, and you try to remove it, don't you? You do everything you can to get rid of it. Then you feel, then I can continue to do my work. Otherwise, how can I do this work with that thorn in my flesh? Oh, that was the experience of Paul. He had a thorn in his flesh. And he prayed about it. He says, I prayed 3 times. And the Lord has spoken to him. My grace is sufficient for thee. That was the answer. So the Lord didn't take the thorn out of his flesh so that he could continue with full strength to do this duty, this task he was called to do. No, he had to continue to work with a thorn in his flesh. And that was the answer of the Lord. And that was good. It doesn't feel good, but it is good. Willing and able to give us all good. So Paul had to learn the lesson. He had to understand that his thorn was good for him. Because when I'm weak, when I feel I cannot do it because of this thorn in my flesh, then I'm mighty. Why? That doesn't make sense. Well, yes, when I'm fully aware that I cannot do it, what are you going to do? You look for help. You depend on the Lord. Lord, help me, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Don't know how to do this. Thou hast called me, but I have such a trouble with this thorn in my flesh. How can I continue to do this? And then the Lord said, well, my grace is sufficient for you. So you got a lesson. We have a problem with understanding what is good. That's too hard for us. We really need the light and the Word of God to help us, so that we may see that what feels bad to me, painful, too hard, can be so good in the plan and counsel of God. Such a good purpose for my life. I cannot see that. I mean, we are human beings. We want to get rid of this trouble. And I know. So what do we need? Not only insight, but also faith, which means submission to the Lord. How can I submit to this painful situation? Well, by faith. Faith will acknowledge who I am before God, that I deserve, because of my sin, His eternal damnation. And here I am. Yes, it's painful, it hurts. But that's nothing compared to what I deserve. So why would I not be convinced that God is good? He is. And I can see it if I open my eyes and see reality, see things in the light, who I am, of who I am and what I deserve. And besides that, when I lift up my eyes and see Christ, and hear His voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Then there's nothing I have to say, because I know the answer. It is because of my sins. How good is God that He gave His Son, that Christ gave His life to set me free. So the trouble in Psalm 115 is that people make idols. And that's our trouble too. We make idols all the time. We put our confidence, our trust in the things of this world, in ourselves, in our own strength, and in the prosperity of this life and the pleasure of things in this world. And we depend on that. And God didn't allow that to happen in the life of Paul. He didn't allow Paul to make an idol of his own skillfulness and power and strength. So God gave him a thorn in his flesh. No idols, Paul. So what is an idol? You know, the heathen, they make a carved image. And they worshipped it and depended on it and found joy and security. That's what they thought. That's how they felt. And we do the same. Although we do not carve images, we have things that we put our trust in, that we find our delight in, that we give our heart to. And so that's foolish. This psalm says that's foolish. They that make them are like unto them. Or the Dutch translation says, let them be like unto them. Those images are dead, and they that trust in them, they are dead too. There's no spiritual life. It's one of the two. So we have to turn away from everything that we depend on besides the Lord, instead of the Lord. So that God will have that full trust of our hearts. And we are so against that. We stick to those idols. We try to keep them. So is it a surprise that God has to find and use ways and means to make us get rid of those idols? And that we will put our trust in God alone. Don't complain about it. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Even for the tribulations. Because He's using them to draw His children to Himself. He wants your whole heart. Like it should be in marriage. You know, you cannot give your heart to one woman and then to your another woman as well. No, it's one. And so God is worthy to receive your whole heart. And that's why all those idols have to go. And we don't like it. It's against our flesh. It's painful. We complain about it all the time. So, again, you need faith. You need prayer. You need this prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And there you will rejoice in the midst of trials and tribulations, because your focus is on God and you know for sure nothing can really happen to me and to my soul, because thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It will never change. There's my security. There's my hope. There's my confidence. What an amazing way to close your prayer. Do you know what it means to pray this way? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Oh, that thou would give us that firm confidence in our hearts, that thou art King alone, that thou art God alone. And Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power. I feel so weak, Lord. I feel so weak. Sin is too strong for me. I can't control myself. But I do know that thou art King, and thou hast the power. I do know it in my mind. I do know it in my heart. I do know it by experience. And thine is the glory, Lord, and that glory cannot be destroyed. And Lord, what a wonder to share in that glory here by faith. Oh, here God's children in this world will be despised, but the glory is in their hearts. They have the glory by faith and the firm hope to inherit and rejoice in that full glory in eternity. Lord, bless thy word. We pray that thou would forgive everything that was not according to thy will, and that we will live this life of prayer on this firm foundation. What a powerful motivation to pray to thee when we see that thou art King and has all the power and the glory, and that forever, Lord. We thank thee for thy goodness, that thou hast revealed thyself and work faith in our hearts, true repentance, that submission to thy word and thy will, to thy ruling of our lives, thy government in our lives. Lord, keep us when we go on the dangerous roads. Keep in traveling also this week, Lord, wherever we go, that we may see that thou art the God of the whole world. Lord, we thank thee. Hear us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.